The text for today is from Isaiah 45, verses 5 and 6. I am the Lord, and there is no other God besides me. I will help you and give you the strength you need, even though you don't acknowledge me as your God. I am doing this so that everyone from the east to the west will know that I am the Lord and that there is no other God besides me.
Good morning. God is not our dictator, is he? Perhaps because you want to draw closer to your Lord and Savior, or perhaps you're discouraged by your life, or maybe you're not even conscious of God, but you still sense that there has to be more to life than the sham and anxiety that you experience. God is our lighthouse. Shall we pray? O Father of all mankind, we find ourselves at this crucial time in our lives. We cannot do anything about the past. We face the future with its uncertainty, but we know that you have the answers for each of us, whom you know so well, and that the best thing that we can do is to acknowledge your supreme position in our lives. For consecrated and willing hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's put our lives into perspective, how we fit into the whole scheme of things. Let's talk about the primacy of God. Primacy means the fact of being primary, preeminent, or more important. Of the two parties involved, God and man, God is the more important. Men generally do not feel that way, but that's a mistake. And preeminent means surpassing all others, very distinguished in some way, actually, in all ways. Some other words for preeminent are greatest, leading, foremost, best, finest, chief, outstanding, excellent, distinguished, prominent, important, renowned, celebrated, supreme. It is not that God benefits by being placed on a pedestal. Here, the essential thing is that we need to give God his proper place in our hearts and minds. Of himself, God says, "Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." He also says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else, and there is none like me." God is all-powerful, and he created us and continues to guide each of us individually, according to the Master's plan that is grounded in eternity, to make the best use of our unique talents and station in life. Life is not easy. We have concerns about the future, like infections that no longer respond to antibiotics, like the unknown long-term effects of genetically modified foods, like the catastrophic earthquake coming to our backyard, like the drunk driver who nobody wants to meet. We see personal difficulties and tragedies in our local neighborhood and the global neighborhood. So then, if God is good, then why is life so hard? It's like what Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." And no, it's not the woman's fault. But God says in his still small voice in Matthew 11:30, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." As we give God his rightful place in our lives, this promise will be realized. "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." And in Proverbs, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We tend to say, But Lord, I just wanted to, or I just thought that if I could help you, or you probably hadn't thought or realized that, well, wouldn't it be well for us if instead we said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So here's the principle. We will not find our place in life by trying to make something of ourselves, but if we give God his rightful place, we will be in our proper place, and we will have that peace that surpasses all human understanding. Let's look at where we stand in God's great creation, of which we understand so little.
God's report about creation states that
in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let there be light, and there was light, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and morning were the first day. And God made the firmament, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together, and let the dry land appear. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb, and the fruit tree. And the evening and morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament to divide the day from the night, and let them give light upon the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature and fowl that may fly. And God created great whales, and the evening and morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over all the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said, have dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and morning were the sixth day. God's continued to bless us, hasn't he? God saved the best for last. Mankind is the crowning act of creation, and he remains heavily involved with each one of us. Jeremiah says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And David said, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. You've heard of people losing themselves when, for example, they might become totally engrossed in some hobby or activity like texting or playing computer games. Well, God says that we should lose ourselves in him. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. That works against our way of thinking, doesn't it? I'd like to talk about Enoch's walk with God. After the birth of his first son, Enoch reached a higher experience. He was drawn into a closer relationship with God. He realized more fully his own obligations and responsibility as a son of God, as he saw the child's love for its father, its simple trust in his protection, as he felt the deep, yearning tenderness of his own heart for that firstborn son. He learned a precious lesson of the wonderful love of God to men in their gift of his son, and the confidence which the children of God may repose in their Heavenly Father. The infinite, unfathomable love of God through Christ became the subject of his meditation day and night, and with all the fervor of his soul, he sought to reveal that love to the people among whom he dwelt. Enoch's walk with God was in all the duties of his daily life. He had a work to do for God in the world as a husband and father, a friend, a citizen. He was the steadfast, unwavering servant of the Lord. Enoch's faith waxed stronger and stronger. His love became more ardent with the passage of centuries. Enoch was of one mind with God. If we are of one mind with God, our will be swallowed up in God's will, and we will follow wherever God leads the way. As a loving child places his hand in that of his father and walks with him in perfect trust, whether it is dark or bright, so the sons and daughters of God are to walk with Jesus through joy or sorrow. Many look upon his life as something above what the generality of mortals can reach, but Enoch's life and character was what the life of every individual may be if he connects closely with God. We should remember that Enoch was surrounded with influences so depraved that God brought a flood of waters on the world. Enoch lived in a corrupt age when moral pollution was all around him, yet he trained his mind to devotion, to love purity. Enoch had temptations as well as we. He was surrounded with society no more friendly to righteousness than what surrounds us. The atmosphere he breathed was tainted with sin and corruption, the same as ours, yet he lived a life of holiness. He was a representative of the saints who live among the perils and corruptions of the last days. So also the faithful who are alive and remain will be translated. Enoch steadfastly maintained his communion with God. The greater and more pressing his labors, the more constant and earnest were his prayers. After remaining for a time among the people, he would withdraw, hungering and thirsting for that divine knowledge which God alone can impart. Enoch came more and more to reflect the divine image. He made Christ his constant companion. He reflected Christ's character, exhibiting the same qualities of goodness, mercy, tender compassion, sympathy, forbearance, meekness, humility, and love. His association with Christ day by day transformed him into the image of him with whom he was so intimately connected. Day by day, he was growing away from his own way of doing things into Christ's thoughts and feelings. If we ever keep the Lord before us, allowing our hearts to go out in thanksgiving and praise, we will have a continual freshness in our religious life. Our prayers will take the form of a conversation with God as we would talk with a friend. Often there will come to us a sweet, joyful sense of the presence of Jesus. Often our hearts will burn within us as he draws nigh to commune with us. Sometimes it's come up in Sabbath school class. How do we maintain our relationship? We look at ourselves, but that doesn't work. When we learn to walk by faith and not by feeling, we shall have help from God just when we need it, and his peace will come into our hearts. Enoch had stood at the threshold of the eternal world, only a step between him and the land of the blessed. And now the portals opened. The walk with God, so long pursued on earth, continued, and he passed through the gates of the holy city, the first from among men to enter there. With the word of God in his hands, every human being, whatever his lot in life may be, may have such companionship as he shall choose. In its pages, he may hold converse with the noblest and best of the human race and may listen to the voice of the Eternal as he speaks with men. He may dwell in this world in the atmosphere of heaven, imparting to earth's sorrowing and tempted ones thoughts of hope and longings for holiness. He through whom the Word of God has lived in fellowship with heaven will find himself at home in heaven's companionship. Have your hearts been stirred thinking about this? And so they should be, for we have an organic connection with our Heavenly Father. Organic means denoting a relationship between elements of something such that they fit together harmoniously as necessary parts of a whole. We are not whole until we are united with our loving Creator, and His love is not complete without us. It should be our life purpose to glorify Christ. This is the greatest purpose that has inspired Christians in every age. In Him, we will find the satisfaction of our sanctified heart's desires. We will find our place in the community of the blessed. The longings of our heart will be met, whatever our station in life. We will have the assurance that we have not lived this life in vain. Hear what other Bible writers have said about their choice to follow Christ. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that we may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I think it's important for us to hear these things because life is so distracting. We step out of the sanctuary and we're assailed with the things of the world, garage sales, signs. Yeah. How does his invitation sound to you? Let me ask. If 2 days from today and Monday, you received word that you were informed that you were the benefactor of a large inheritance, including a home in another place, is that something you would be willing to change and get used to? Of course you would. So there's nothing in your past life that says you have to stay the same. Christ invites us to come home to Him where we belong. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we have a tired world to lose and a new world to gain, along with all your other children. May we not forget your invitation and seek your face in all things of life as you have always sought ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, how can we thank you? We cannot count the ways. Might we always turn to you in good times and hard times, for you are our Lord, and you will finish the work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.